Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All. I went to the Olympics, and all I got was this lousy disease. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in this radio program. You can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left-hand side of your screen, and it says at the top, latest back-of-the-book program links. Click on that, you get to the webpage for tonight's program, for this morning's program, and we do a new web page for each and every program, which means we got quite a number of web pages up there. And, of course, the WBAI website and archives seem to be functioning. This is our 53rd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. And it was recorded on Friday afternoon for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top news story of this past week, of course, is that on Twitter, we are up to 113 followers. Oh, my godlessness. I think they had to send away to foreign countries to get supercomputers to serve as new servers to hold that many followers on Twitter. So there we are with that. The next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, August 11th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And we're in the midst of elections for the local station board right now. Well, not quite in the midst of it. Voting starts in August. Starts, I think, in the middle of August. And so we are not allowed to say whom to vote for or what idiots to avoid voting for or anything like that. And I can only say that you should start doing your research and figure out who would be best for you to vote for. If you go up to elections.pacifica.org, you can find the list of everybody who's running at all of the stations. And, of course, you'll only be voting for listeners at WBAI. And that's what you should start looking through. And remember to bring a skeptical eye to those listings. And according to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 197,007,642, and global deaths reached 4,204,006. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 34,814,925. And the death toll in America was 612,388. So 1,976 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. And so the death rate in America has gone up a little bit again this past week. And the surges in areas where vaccination rates are low, that's still what's going on. The South, when they show the maps on TV of where it's happening, the South is just rife with new cases. Some of those states, the hospitals, some hospitals are full and they can't let anybody else in. Plus, most of them have canceled elective surgeries and stuff like that because the hospital's filling up again with people with COVID-19. And, oh, this is just terrible, terrible stuff. And this could have all been avoided. This could have all been avoided. And, you know, we're concerned about this stuff. And, of course, by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher. It was also preventable by various people. And, of course, the Delta variant is the dominant thing in America. And it's probably the dominant thing in the world by now. The Centers for Disease Control and Infection, which is still called the CDC, has said that those of us who are thoroughly vaccinated can still carry the virus and transmit it to other people. And those who are not vaccinated are more likely to get severely ill from the Delta variant, and they can die even faster with the Delta variant. It kills faster. And infecting anyone with the Delta variant turns out to be very, very easy. The CDC has also issued a statement saying that the Delta variant is as infectious as chickenpox. And that's really infectious. Chickenpox is known around the world as the thing that is so infectious that if you're in the same room with somebody with chickenpox and you've never had chickenpox, you're probably going to get it. I've heard things of people have their kids and they want them to get chickenpox early. And so they have a chickenpox party and get all the kids in the neighborhood to have like a little party together. And, you know, one kid has it. And they put them all in the same room, let them play and have fun for hours. And within a few days, all of the kids have chicken pox. And the idea behind that kind of thing was the kids get it and everybody just has it all at once and it's over with. It's not as bad when you're a kid as if you get it when you're an adult, but it can kill you. And the idea is all of the kids will have it together in a neighborhood, will be safe, which I always thought was a stupid thing to do. When I was a kid, of course, we did get it. There was no vaccine or anything for it then. And you got it naturally in school, of course. It was a school disease, just as measles and mumps were. And chickenpox was especially effective at going through the classroom. From all of those childhood diseases, as they're called, there would be times you'd be going to school and, oh yeah, it's one of those diseases going around. So the teacher would teach rather lightly because you can't teach really serious stuff because every day you're going to have a significant number of kids absent. They're going to be absent for days or maybe even a week. And then they'll come back in and then another crowd will go out. So you ended up spending some number of weeks, maybe a month or more, where the population of your classroom was just depleted. And they were teachers with a lot of experience, and they'd been through this, and so they knew how to handle this. And that's how we all got it back when I was a kid. Of course, COVID-19 is apparently rather more deadly than chickenpox, especially chickenpox when you're a kid. And so it's so much worse now with the Delta variant.
The other thing to consider about this is that something like chickenpox, that virus doesn't go away. It stays in your body. It's dormant until you reach a certain age, although younger people can get herpes zoster, which is the shingles. And this is a disease that attacks your nerves because that's where the virus ends up lying, and it attacks the myelin sheath. And it's extremely painful, and it's not a good thing to get. I can tell you from personal experience, we don't know what SARS-CoV-2 does long-term, except many people who have had COVID-19 suffer long COVID, which means the virus is still affecting parts of their body. Very painful, very destructive. So you're going to have kids going back to school with something that is as easy to get, as contagious as chickenpox, in states where there are no mask, indeed not, no more than just no mask mandate. The mask mandates are forbidden. So what is going to happen with these kids? At some point, there's going to be the okay for vaccines for kids, but then you're going to have people who say, no, not my child. So this, I think this is why I am so depressed right now with all of this new information coming out and people just acting so foolhardy about this. I mean, talk about having no vested self-interest. You don't care about yourself. You care about your kids. Oh, you think that magically they're going to be okay. Well, this pandemic is going to be going on for the foreseeable future, folks. And there's going to be fewer but hardier, maybe, humans. I don't know.
Well, a part of it, we know that for the long-haul people who keep getting something going on with them that we know about now, they have problems with their lungs a lot because the virus attacks the lungs. And so they have their lungs not going well. They need oxygen some of them. And it's damage. Damage is done. And it looks like damage doesn't just go away. It looks like maybe, I don't know if the virus keeps on doing small amounts of damage over time. I mean, it's bad if you get sick and you're in the hospital or it gets you right away and that's no good. But it's also bad if the virus gets in there, makes you sick, and after the acute phase is done, what if it becomes chronic and it just keeps doing its dirty work? What happens 20 or 30 years after you get it? Is it eating your lungs for 20 or 30 years? Is it having some other effect? So this is not a virus to mess around with. People ought to get vaccinated, is my opinion. And yeah,
this is my opinion too. I feel very strongly about this. Loved ones, wherever you are, please get vaccinated.
And, of course, the Olympics are going on. And I think that these Olympics are unique in that athletes are being removed from competition in their sports because they've tested positive for a disease that's running wild in the host country. Japan is seeing a big spike. I'm seeing a report that 220 Olympic-related COVID-19 cases have been reported since the start of these games. Athletes who test positive for COVID-19 have to isolate for 14 days, which means that their participation in these Olympics is over. If your event comes up within those 14 days, you can't participate. So you've done all that training, you've qualified, you've traveled to Japan, you've gone through all the stuff, you've dealt with the cardboard beds, and all the other wacky stuff they're doing over there. And, oh, you've tested positive. Go home. You're not going to do anything here. You got to stay in quarantine for 14 days, and then you can go home. There's some southern senator or congress critter or whatever is making a formal protest about the American pole vaulter who is in this exact situation. He can't compete because he tested positive, so the southern politician is making claims that you can't trust the test or something. something. I don't know. Maybe they got lousy tests. I have no idea if their tests are working properly over there. But it's a bizarre Olympics where people are picking up a disease and they're eliminated. There might be just a lot of asterisks in the record books on this particular set of Olympics here. And Simone Biles, she's basically dropped out for mental health reasons, and that's a good thing. She needs to take care of herself, and she needs to pay attention to her needs. She's going to be alive after these Olympics, so, you know, she has to make sure that she's okay and all of that. Plus, she's in a sport where you see her jumping on those things in the vaults, and she jumps on, it's like a diving board thing, it amplifies your jump, and you jump on it, and she goes like, what is that, like 10 feet in the air? She's doing somersaults, twirling back and forth, twisting and turning. And, you know, if she does that wrong and comes down on her head, that's probably going to be it for her. And so you got to be careful with these kinds of things. And so, these athletes need to pay attention to their own best interests and not to the interests of whoever's sponsoring these things. And are there any sponsors left? I think some of the sponsors have bailed because they said, we don't want to be the sponsors of everybody getting a disease. Yeah, that's kind of a mess here. I support her decision. Not that she's going to care or ever know I exist. But yeah, it's the right thing to do for her.
It's exactly the same as having a sprain or breaking a bone or getting a virus. It's the same thing. It's something that's affecting you, and it's better for you to take care of yourself.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. Well, all right, I think I probably should pitch at this point in time. And oh, I know, some of you are saying, oh, you're gonna pitch. Oh, you're pitching. It's so annoying. You shouldn't be pitching. It's just, well, we gotta. I mean, there are other alternatives, something like this.
Here's the proposition. Regardless of what coal you're now burning in your furnace, order a ton of blue coal. Try blue coal for a week and see if it doesn't give you more even, more dependable, longer-lasting heat. That's fair enough, isn't it? And remember, when you order blue coal, you get courteous, careful delivery and helpful consideration of all your heating problems. Phone your neighborhood blue coal dealer tomorrow.
But that's a regular commercial. We would be sponsored by Blue Coal if that's what was happening, but we're not. We're sponsored by you. We're sponsored by the listeners. That's why we say we are listener-sponsored WBAI New York. And so what we do is we get on the air and we ask you to be our sponsor, to contribute some amount of money to keep us going. And how you do that is you call 1-212-209-2950, and you'll get the call center at that number, and you'll tell them, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and they'll start signing you up. And a BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership. If you want to become a sustaining membership, we call you a BAI buddy. And so what you do then is you tell them how much you'd like to contribute on a monthly basis. And you can contribute $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month. You could do more, but I think most of our listeners are in the $5 to $20 range, I'm assuming. You call 1-212-209-2950. Tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. It's good to get the name of the program in there because then we get credit for it. And they say, oh, they actually do have listeners. And you tell them as a BAI buddy how much you want to contribute every month. And you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged for that amount of money. That way you can have it happen on a date when it's convenient to you. 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, we talk about various things. We do science programs here. We talk about sciences. We give our opinions, certainly, on COVID-19. And yes, I know some people don't like that we're saying get vaccinated, but we are saying get vaccinated. And because we don't want to lose listeners. Yes, 1-212-209-2950. 209-2950, and you'll be supporting WBAI, and BAI needs to keep on going here. The general manager says that this radio station costs about $120,000 a month to run, and we have been running deficits for years. You can call 1-212-209-2950 and tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and that will help a great deal. We need to get WBAI to the point of where it's self-sustaining, where we can predict revenue. And with the BAI buddy's sustaining membership, you become someone we can count on a monthly basis. We need that kind of stability at some point, because if we don't get that, we've already seen people coming after the bylaws so they could take over all of Pacifica. 1-212-209-2950. If you call in and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book and contribute somewhere between $5 and $20 a month, whatever you want, well, that will help to save WBAI. Otherwise, you're going to have to hear something probably even worse than blue coal commercials. Yeah, at one point, the guy calls it coal. Like, I don't know. He's a professional announcer from long ago, but coal, maybe that's how they pronounce it in some parts of the country. Oh, the Blue Coal Company, by the way, their gimmick was to be blue coal. They sprayed a blue dye on their coal, and they said, blue coal, see, it's our trademark. But if you don't want to have to hear blue coal commercials, you should call 1-212-209-2950. We'll be very glad that you do that, and you won't have to hear us pronounce the word coal anymore. And I guess this is our Goodbye July show. Yes, we are airing this program on July 31st, and that's the end of July for 2021. It'll be back in a year. Hope we're all back in a year. And so goodbye, July, but it's still midsummer. That's a good thing. The exact moment, the exact minute of midsummer will be August 6th at 3:54 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 6 minutes before 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So our next program will be in the second half of the summer of 21. Oh boy, summer is going to be half over in the next week. Gee whiz. And we're still dealing with more smoke from the wildfires out west. Those things are just terrible. And they're consuming the entire set of states out there, states and provinces. It's going from Southern California up into Canada, and it's going through various states. It's not just along the coast. It's going into, like, what, Nevada and other states, and it's terrible stuff. Meanwhile, in New York City, we're ending up with the third wettest July on record. And I'm wondering, is July going to become the tropical rain month around here? We're getting climate change, which is more being called climate crisis. But in terms of a change, I guess it's possible that July, instead of being the just the hottest month, it might still be that, I'm not sure. Who knows, August may be hotter. And so July was the hottest month, but it was also a dry month. You can get out, lots of sunshine. This July, a lot of overcast, a lot of rain coming down. We're the third wettest July on record. And of course, the sky is messed up with all the smoke coming in, and you can smell it during one of the rainstorms we were having. I guess what happens is the thunderstorm was washing some of the smoke out of the sky, and you could smell the smoke mixed with the thunderstorm smell. Thunderstorms in the summer, especially at night, have a certain smell to them. And this one had that, but it was at least partially overwhelmed by the smell of smoke. And it was like when you walk around after a building is burned and you go over and you look at it and you can smell the wood has burned and they've sprayed it with water so it's not burning anymore, but it has an odor to it. That's what it smelled like when it was raining this past week. It's also not good for people breathing.
Oh, no, it's very, very bad, and there's just so many things happening. If you want to take a look at where all the smoke is going, because none of these fires in Canada or the United States are going to stop burning anytime soon, despite all the best efforts of the firefighters. The government has a website that will actually show you a big map of North America and where the smoke is drifting. At the moment, I don't recall the actual URL, but our Paul will put it up on his site so you can look that up.
And we'll also put it on the archive of this radio program. We have an archive of every radio program up at WBAI.org, and you can go up there and you can see the archive and you can listen to the program. Some of you only do it that way. And we'll put that link up there too. And of course, we have all that smoke coming in that's got particulate matter in it. Well, the universe isn't burning, but it's got plenty of dust in it. In fact, we're made of that dust. And in the July 2021 Scientific American is a short piece in it. And the question is, how much space dust lands on Earth every year? And it says here, it's estimated that incoming extraterrestrial dust weighs in at about 5,200 metric tons annually. It says here, the dust's abundance suggested that 4,000 to 6,700 metric tons falls to Earth every year, and the best estimate is that 5,200 number. So that's the stuff you get there. Makes the Earth way more. Now, as we were getting ready to do this program, we got a couple of pieces of news relating to that traitor, Donnie Bonespur Trump, whom we've not mentioned that much lately. The Office of Legal Counsel for the Department of Justice said in a 39-page opinion that Congress, specifically the House Ways and Means Committee, made a, quote, legitimate request, unquote, to review the former president's tax records. The Justice Department opinion says that under federal law, there is what they call, quote, ample basis, unquote, for the Department of Treasury to hand over the tax returns from Trump to the committee for the, quote, principal stated objective of assessing the IRS's presidential audit program, a plainly legitimate area for congressional inquiry and possible legislation, unquote. So that sounds pretty good. It also says, quote, the statute at issue here is unambiguous, unquote. So, yeah, Trump was stonewalling this. They wouldn't let it happen, wouldn't let people talk about anything, and said, no, you can't do that. It's illegal. And now that he's gone, they're saying, obviously, it's legal. It's part of the law. And so there they go. The House Ways and Means Committee is now going to get the tax returns from Trump, the secret tax returns he doesn't want anybody to see. And the House Ways and Means Committee has been trying to get the Treasury Department to cough up Trump's tax returns since 2019 because it was considering bills and oversight in connection with federal tax law. Oh boy, the Manhattan DA's office already has his tax returns. And so does the New York State Attorney General's office. Now Congress is getting those secret tax returns. Oh, I hope we see Trump go to prison for tax evasion, among other things. That would be so good to see him in prison. He'd be the first president of the United States ever to be convicted of something serious and sent to prison. That would be so good. Is it possible? Will he somehow get away with it? Will he be convicted, but judge will say, oh, it wouldn't look right if we put a president in prison. Blah, put him in prison. Anyway, I really hope we see him go to prison. Now, something else that just came out yesterday as we were recording, before we recorded this program, I mean just before, is that according to notes released by the House Oversight Committee, Trump urged senior Justice Department officials to declare the 2020 election results, quote, corrupt, unquote, during a phone call on December 27th. According to handwritten notes from one of the people who was in that meeting, Trump said at one point to then Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen, who had replaced Barr, who had quit a week or so earlier, he said to Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen, quote, just say the election was corrupt and leave the rest to me and the R congressman, unquote. Of course, the R means Republicans. He knew he could count on them to back up any corruption he wanted to pull. Committee Chair Representative Carolyn Maloney, who's from New York, has issued a statement that says, quote, these handwritten notes show that President Trump directly instructed our nation's top law enforcement agency to take steps to overturn a free and fair election in the final days of his presidency, unquote. And of course, 10 days later, Trump directed his delusional followers to start an insurrection at the Capitol. All of these are crimes that are connected. And yeah, we saw the congressional hearings this past week with the Capitol Police testifying about being attacked, being called all sorts of names, fearing for their lives, having this bear spray stuff, this toxic stuff sprayed on them. And these people were trying to hang Mike Pence and get to the rest of the Congress critters. And the Capitol Police were somewhat intimidated because they could see these guys had guns. A lot of them were carrying guns, and they could see the outline of the guns through their clothing. Because if you're a cop, that's one of the things you're trained to do is, you know, say, oh, is this guy carrying a gun? If you're a cop, it kind of makes an important idea of, I should know whether this guy's carrying a piece or not. And so there's training to how a gun looks if somebody's got it concealed on their clothing. And there are telltale things you can see. And so they could see those telltale signs that a whole bunch of these creeps were carrying guns. And some of them, once they got inside, were openly carrying guns. And they were intimidated by that. That's why they were having the medieval warfare, as they put it, of trying to push and all of this. Because if they were concerned that if they opened fire, they would have been consumed by a fusillade from these heavily armed people who didn't care and were willing to have an armed insurrection. Although there was one of them that did say, you know, no, you're not coming in here. And he blew away that one creep who figured she was going to break through into one of the Senate rooms there while they were trying to get people out of it. And yeah, he probably saved some lives with that by blowing her away. And, and they probably want to know what his name is because then they can, publicize it and start vectoring in right-wing creeps to try and murder him. I don't know. I mean, if people want a civil war, you know, a lot of people have a lot of guns, and it isn't going to be just the right-wing offing people. But I don't think we really want that in America. It would be very bad. So this is more of the Trump criminality of himself and his cronies, all of those corrupt people. And Jesus, again, I want to see him in prison. I want to see him spending the rest of his life in prison and not having any special privileges because he one time got to steal an election. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Enzymes. Yes, enzymes. You hear about them sometimes. There are various products on TV that will use the word enzymes and stuff, and they try to sell you stuff. Yes, we have enzymes. Oh, yeah, you do. That's nice. You know, do you have like a powder you can put on that to maybe do something? No. Enzymes are a molecule, a biological molecule, and enzymes do a huge amount of stuff in your body. In fact, every living cell in your body is producing enzymes all the time. There are enzymes working in every living cell of your body right now. Things would not happen without enzymes doing their thing. And so years ago, it was discovered, well, there are things are being done and other chemicals, proteins are being produced in cells. And a scientist said, oh, and how is this? And then they started hunting for why certain proteins were made in cells and how is it done? And they focused in on some other chemicals that seemed to go over and assemble stuff. And there it was. You had something happening. Somehow there was an interaction between that chemical and a protein, and the protein became what it eventually became. So they started looking for them. They found them, and they called them enzymes. And after a while, they were actually able to figure out what their chemical makeup was. And so they got the chemical makeup of the enzymes, and they said, we can make these in a laboratory and do stuff with them, change protein molecules with them. And so they got their chemicals together. They got all the right chemicals, and they put them together, and they didn't do bleep. And they kept trying this because they said, well, maybe we have to, like, add the chemicals in a certain order. Maybe we have to do it this way, that way. And they tried many, many different things, and it took a long time. And what they did was, they had to wait for technology to get better. And eventually technology did get better. And they found out that the reason why their enzymes, their chemicals didn't work was because it was if you took an erector set and you said, we want to build a little, I don't know, thing that twirls around the mill or something. It's in an erector set. And we want to build that. So we'll take the motor part, and we'll take the various screws and the nuts and the little pieces of metal, and we'll put it all into a glass vial. We'll shake it up, and that'll be it. Well, of course, that wouldn't work. You would just get a lot of parts all shaken up. And if you just assemble them as they are, well, they're still not going to go. Just simply putting them together anyway, it would have the same, in this case, it would have the same chemical formula, but it wouldn't work. What they eventually discovered through various means was enzymes have a particular shape. A lot of them move. And for instance, some of them are like wrenches, and they don't do a whole lot, but they latch on to another protein, and they will turn something. And if you've ever done any chemistry or biology, you know that the proteins can be pretty complex. And what's very important is the various sites on the proteins. And the proteins interact with other chemicals, and they produce third chemicals, or they make the protein do something it wouldn't ordinarily do. And this is the role of the enzymes. Some of them, what they do is they come over to a protein and they latch onto it, and they connect to certain sites on the protein, and it's sort of like your hand grabbing something, and then the enzyme opens the protein up. The protein has a certain shape to it, and that's dictated by the charge on the atoms that form the molecule. And what the enzyme does is it comes over, it grabs it sort of by the back, and it opens it up. It's sort of like opening up an envelope. You take the envelope and you open it, you know, or opening up almost anything, or opening up a can of a bottle, a soda bottle. You know, you don't just say, well, here's the soda bottle. What you do is you take one hand, you grab hold of the soda bottle. The other hand, you twist the cap until it comes off. And these days, the cap usually is attached, so you have to twist with enough force to break the little plastic bits that are keeping the cap on. Well, proteins are like that too. And what the enzyme does is it comes along and it grabs the protein and it distorts its shape, essentially opening it. And a lot of the time what it does is it opens it up, and sometimes it allows an atom to get to like the center of the protein, and then the enzyme lets go, because that atom getting in there produces a difference in the charge, and the enzyme lets go, and now you have this protein that has a different character, a different function to it. And it could also be much more complicated things, like a number of enzymes will grab some proteins, one will open one up, another one will come over and maybe snip a piece off, and then another one will come over and attach another protein to it, and it'll fit in a certain way, and the rest of the protein will be able to clamp down around that. You know, you can think of all sorts of the ways that we do things mechanically, besides chemically, mechanical things where stuff has to clamp onto other things, where you have to open something up, put something inside it, and then close it up again. And, of course, with proteins, it's amazingly complex. So, after a while, they discovered this, and they said, oh, we got to make them the right shape. We've got the chemical composition right, but now we have to make the right shape of the enzyme, and then it will work. And they first started doing that, and bang, that worked. The first early enzyme processes did work. And now this is used for all sorts of things. They use it to make vaccines. They use it to make all sorts of things that involve organic chemistry. And so they have to figure this stuff out, and they have all sorts of things to kind of look in and see what the enzymes look like, because it's not easy to figure out what shape they need to be in. And earlier they did crystallography, X-ray crystallography, where it's just where you allow something to become crystallized, and then you shoot X-rays through it, and it causes basically a shadow. You get an X-ray of it, and it's a shadow of the molecule, and you, if you're really, really bright, you can start deducing what that actual shape of that chemical is. And it's not that difficult for some small, simple chemicals. Doing it for something like an enzyme, which can have a lot of different atoms in it making up that molecule, oh boy, that is difficult. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. And so, I have from the July 27th Science Times, from the New York Times, an article here by Cade Metz, and it's about artificial intelligence being used to figure out what shapes the enzymes should be. And basically, it tells the story of this one scientist who is a biologist, and was trying to find a molecule that will break down basically those soda bottles. Remember, I was talking about a soda bottle? All that plastic junk that's now floating around in the oceans. Also, you and I are drinking it in every drop of water we drink and drop of everything that has water in it. And we talked about the Pacific Gyre on a previous program. And right there, you've got this huge sea now of plastic crap. And it breaks down into little microscopic bits of plastic. We got to deal with this. It's poisoning fish. It's getting in us. We got to deal with this. So he's looking for a molecule that could break down, they estimate 150 million tons of soda bottles and other plastic waste that's around there. And he wants to find an enzyme that will break this crap down and make it into harmless constituent chemicals that can then be dealt with and recycled and all of that. He appealed to some people in London who have been dealing with artificial intelligence, or AI. And there's an artificial intelligence lab in London, and they have something called DeepMind, and they have a system that automatically predicts the shapes of enzymes and other proteins. And so he went to them to try and get them to help him out. Now, a week ago Thursday, the DeepMind people released the predicted shapes of more than 350,000 proteins. It isn't just enzymes that you got to figure out the shapes of. Other proteins also need to get the shape right. So they have released the predicted shapes. Now, it's not absolutely certain, but there are 350,000 protein shapes that you can figure out and say, well, let's try this and see if this works on whatever our project is. And so they have this database, and it includes the three-dimensional structures for all proteins expressed by the human genome. Well, that's an important thing to start doing, as well as those for proteins that appear in 20 other organisms, including the mouse, the fruit fly, and the Escherichia coli bacterium. Mice, of course, you experiment on, and it's good to know what's happening there when you're experimenting on them. The fruit fly is extremely, called Drosophila, is extremely important for research because the fruit fly reproduces very rapidly. So you can do something with the fruit fly, and then you can see, 10 generations later, what happens to it, because some things have hereditary effects. And with the fruit fly, you're only waiting a matter of weeks to see what happens. Whereas with like a human being, you have to wait for 250 years. And it wouldn't be good to experiment on human beings anyway. And of course, Escherichia coli, or E. coli, it's what's in our gut. And it's good to know about that little thing too. Anyway, they have provided, in that 350,000, they've given out about 250,000 shapes that were previously unknown. So a week ago, 250,000 protein shapes that were unknown that relate to the human genome or various research animals, these were given out by this DeepMind laboratory. And they're artificial intelligence technology is called AlphaFold, because folding is what the enzymes do and other proteins do. It's called folding when they move things and they manipulate them. Yeah, and so how they fold is the real deal. And AlphaFold, this artificial intelligence thing, is a neural network, which is a mathematical thing, and it figures this stuff out, and it can predict the shape of a protein with an accuracy that rivals physical experiments about 63% of the time. And the physical experiments are expensive and hard to do, and they take time. And so scientist gave them 7 proteins he needed to know what their shape was. He already knew the shape of a couple of them, so he's going to test them. And within days, he got the stuff back. And the ones he already knew, they got right. And he said, one person, a professor of at the University of Cambridge, Randy Reed, said, "I thought it would take another 10 years. This was a complete change," unquote. And DeepMind researchers estimate that the system provides a good prediction about 95% of the time. It can't be perfect. There are so many ways you can fold a protein or an enzyme. And so this thing predicts and narrows it down. So it can't be perfect, but 95% of the time it's good. And it says here, University of Colorado researchers are using the technology to understand how bacteria like E. coli and Salmonella develop a resistance to antibiotics. So, you know, people say, oh, you know, some of this science stuff, it's not practical. Well, there's something practical right there, making it so that we can use antibiotics on things. At the University of California, San Francisco, researchers have used this tool, AlphaFold, to improve their understanding of the coronavirus. And the coronavirus has 26 different proteins that it uses to mess us up. And by using AlphaFold, the researchers have improved their understanding of one key protein that it does, and they're increasing their understanding of the other 25. So this is something that's actually helping to get them to understand the coronavirus. And so they may be saving lives because of this computer program in the near future. So this is something good. This is a wonderful thing. And yep, people complain when people spend money on things they don't understand right away, like neural networks and artificial intelligence. And some people are, oh, the artificial intelligence is going to eat us all. Well, we certainly are seeing it doing some good here, and I'm glad to see that. Fast pitch, fast pitch. Okay, you don't want to hear any Blue Coal commercials, so what you do is you become our sponsor. Call 1-212-209-2950. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. 1-212-209-2950. Please give a call to the call center now and help support WBAI. That says that's it for Back of the Book for this week. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. We'll be back here next week with another radio program. Coming up next are a pair of fundraising specials. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. Thanks a great deal if you contributed any kind of dough as a BAI buddy. And we're going to hang around and see if we can get out of the house and avoid getting infected with anything. You try to have some fun, too. Enjoy the beginning of August. And above all, remember what that folding his proteins on his own dormouse said. Light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. You used to think that so easy. You used to say that it was so easy, but you're trying now. Another year and then you'd be happy. Just one more year and then you'd be happy, but you're crying. We'll be right back.
place. He opens a door.